I've got to preach. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you so much. You're cutting into my preaching time. Come on now. You know, I got married in this auditorium in 1982. I got married in this auditorium in 1982. Dr. Evans performed our wedding. We got married here, and some of you fellas still have hope. If you would work on it right now, I mean, this Valentine's thing, you have plenty of time to work on Valentine's. So there's some fellas, when I was here, they just couldn't get it together. And man, I mean, you have several months to get it together for Valentine's Day. And so we'll pray for you, okay? And I know there's ladies out there waiting for you, okay? Help us. Psalm chapter 8 this morning, I'd like to draw your attention just to a thought of recognizing the Lord of Lords in our lives. Recognizing the Lord of Lords in our life. In March, we had our Capital Connection, and we could not go to the Capitol. We did a virtual Capital Connection. Brother Pauley, Brother Sexton, Brother Gibbs, and a lot of preachers were there. We had representatives. We had senators and representatives doing clips for us, and we did panels and had a wonderful time. And while we were, it just went really good. We didn't push for big crowds at the church because of COVID. And I'll never forget, things just went so well. I mean, just phenomenal. And on Tuesday, something happened in our ministry. We had gone a complete year without COVID. We had not had COVID. We had a man pass away, but they said he died from an embolism, a heart embolism. I don't know what that is, but they said it was not COVID. We had just a phenomenal year. Schools, church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, our church, daycare. Things were just going fine. We had Capital Connection. And on Tuesday night, something happened. And Dr. Gibbs was there. He wore his mask the whole time. He didn't want his wife to become ill. But Steve Kluth became ill. And we had some 40 people got COVID. I didn't want to admit that I had COVID. So I went and preached. I went ahead and preached on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I was coughing and sweating, and people were calling in from, we were online at that time, and people were calling, Pastor, you need to go to the hospital. You have COVID. I know, you know, I don't have COVID. Everything's okay. And we'll get over this. Take my meds, you know, my zinc and vitamin D and everything. And I was just trying to handle things. And about Friday, I hadn't eaten for 4 days. You know, with church members, bro, I always say, man, eat your food. What's the matter with you? Get healthy. I didn't eat for 4 days. And on Friday, I have had pneumonia for years as a child. And on Friday, they took me to Washington Hospital Center, and my wife went. She had COVID also, but she had started taking antibiotics. They took me in, and we went through all the different things. And finally, that night, they sent my wife home, and they kept me. We had a lady in our church that works in the heart ward, and as a result, she was able to get me a private suite there at the hospital. They put me in that room, and it was a sealed room, and I was laying there at 10:30 and just totally wet. I mean, just from sweat. They started doing PICC lines and giving me Remdesivir, and they did Remdesivir for 5 days. They gave me Remdesivir. They would, all night long, they would work on me, and then during the days, they would disconnect things and let me get up, stand up, and walk around the room. And in that time, the staff were calling, Pastor, everything's great. Church is going great. Ministry is going great. I'm saying, but I'm in the hospital. Well, we'll pray for you, Pastor. We love you. See you later. Okay. I'm like, man, alive. They're doing great without me, you know. And things were going on, and I was just, I came to a place in the stillness of the night. I said, Lord, what are you trying to do in my life? What is it that you want in my life. Helicopters were landing at the hospital. They'd come right by my window. There was a break in the buildings, and they would come in and go through that break and land on top of the roof, and they'd take people in. And it was happening, and it was just one of the weirdest times in my life. And I broke my Bible out and just began to just pray and say, Lord, what do you want to do in my life? What do you want to come out of this? And the thought came to my mind in this portion of Scripture. If you'll look at verse 4 of this portion, it says this: What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Let's read it all together. Ready? What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? I read that portion of Scripture, and when I read that, it just came to my mind, and I'd studied it. I've preached through the Psalms, and I've preached messages on it. But when I went in that night, and those nights there by myself, me and the Lord, people coming in with shields on, and they'd have a suit on, and I had one guy that came in at 3:00 in the morning. I've never seen anybody take blood so fast. I would be half asleep, and he would have 2 tubes of blood out of my arm, and I didn't know where it was coming from. And he would be out the door in probably about a minute's time. I've never seen anything like it. I'd like to find that guy. But I spent that time, and I'm telling you, in those quiet times, it's amazing, the Lord gets our attention. Anybody ever had that quiet time where the Lord just got your attention? And I said, Lord, what do you want? And that thought kept coming to my mind. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? And I began to study the Scripture. I don't know what your Bible says at the top, above the Scriptures there, but mine says David. Does anybody else say David up there at the top? And when I got to looking at that, I just began to go verse by verse and study this Scripture, and understanding that God does things in our lives on purpose. God allows things in our lives on purpose. I never felt like I was in danger of dying. I've had friends and I've had family members that have passed away from COVID. They had me on oxygen, and they were just pumping me full of fluids and taking care of me all night long, and then they freed me up during the day. And I sat there and was looking for the day to get out. I was there for a week, and it was a very interesting time to me. But as I got out and I looked back, I began to study the Scripture, and I realized what took place in this Scripture. The psalmist comes to a place where his eyes are opened to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He comes to a place where he realizes God's involvement in his life. And I'll tell you, Bible college, we can hoop and holler, and I know there's a crowd of crazy guys back there. They used to sit right up here during my time. I mean, the Keith Gomez, are you still here? The crazies are still here, okay? All kinds of things went on. I mean, things have not changed here, okay? I know the hooping, hollering, and I know the ministry, and I know the busyness, the tests that come, all the different things, and then working the job late at night and you keep on going, and I know all about that. But God comes to a place where he gets the attention of a shepherd boy, David. There's three things that I want to offer you this morning, three thoughts out of this portion, but I want you to understand you are not alone today. I want you to understand that God can be busy in your life just like he was busy in David's life. And I want to say this. You might say, I'll never accomplish anything great for God, but you never know what God is going to permit you to do in your life and ministry. God has a place. God gives us spiritual gifts. God gives us opportunities beyond what we could ever imagine. And I've sat in the Capitol of the United States in the Speaker of the House's office and looked out at the Supreme Court building and said, Lord, what in the world am I doing here? And I had the opportunity to share the gospel, give gospel literature, give advice. I've had leaders in the last week call me and ask advice. I've had leaders that I've called to pray for while they were making votes downtown. And that is not Mike Creed, but I'll tell you this, it's God's will for Mike Creed right now. And it's above and beyond what I could ever imagine. David comes out and he makes three, it's like there's three statements that become loud and clear in this portion. Number one, David talks about my magnificent God, my magnificent Lord. In verse 1, and we'll go quickly here. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? He comes and he says this, O Lord. And I want you to notice the way the two words are spelled there. The first Lord is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The next one is our Lord, capital L, O-R-D. And we understand this, that David comes and says, God, Lord, you are magnificent in my eyes. Now, what is he referring to? I believe that David has just had a victory in the Valley of Elah. He never imagined himself fighting a giant. He never imagined being put in the place, but he took the opportunity that God gave him. And he begins to just praise God and thank him for how magnificent he is in his life. And hey, if you'll open your eyes today, I used to live in Prophet's dorm. I just walked by my dorm room. I used to eat the food in the dining halls. You have a better dining hall now. I was all over this campus, and I understand there can come lonely times, difficult times. It can come to a place that the battle is on, and I've got to get that test. I've got to memorize those things, but understand, in the midst of it all, we serve a magnificent God. The capital L-O-R-D, it's talking about Jehovah. It's talking about Yahweh. It's talking about the absolute one. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, he is absolute in our lives today. There is nothing too hard for God. God has you in a place. He's put you here. He works in your life. He allows us to breathe today. He gives us exactly what we need. And sometimes we think it's out of hand, but it is not out of hand with the absolute today. It is not out of hand with him. Notice he mentions another thing. There's a second word, Lord, and it means Adonai or master. He says, not only are you the absolute, but you are my master. You're in charge of my life. I look to you. And I picture David in that Valley of Elah. I've taken a lot of groups over to Israel, and I stop. That's one of my favorite places to stop. We stop the bus, and we walk out in the field, and there's lower hills over here. There's a high hill on the other side of the road that where the Philistines were and where Israel was. And the craziest thing, people always pick up rocks in that place. I don't know how Israel lets so many rocks go through their x-ray machines on the way out of town. My wife takes bags of rocks home. And I say, Valerie, come on. You're going to overweigh our bags. And ladies are grabbing, and men are grabbing those smooth stones down there in that place where David slew Goliath. And David is in that place, and God has just done something beyond what he could ever think. And he says, God, you're magnificent. God, you're beyond what I can think. Look what he says. He says this, out of the mouth of babes. You might want to circle that word. And my mind, and as I've studied it, my mind goes to Moses in the bulrushes. He says this, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Today, this world is going crazy, but we do not know who God is preparing. It might be a baby in the nursery at First Baptist Hammond. It might be a young man here, a young lady here in this auditorium. We never know what God could do. We serve a magnificent God. I look at it and He says this, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the avenger. I love it. He comes and as he deals with this thought, he not only talks about the future and what God can do, God can raise up one individual that can change history. Verse 3, when I consider the heavens and the works of thy fingers. It doesn't say when I consider the heavens and the work of thy muscles or the strength of thy body, God. It says God just moved his finger and the heavens were created. I get to thinking about that. The astrologers and these folks that, you know, these folks that study the stars, they say that when you look up into the heavens, you only see 5% of the stars. I was just up in Bar Harbor, Maine, and there was a man sitting there. He was fidgeting at this picnic table. My wife and I found a quiet place, and we were at the next picnic table having lunch. Finally, I started to chat with him, and he said, I come to this place because, he says, when it gets dark, the stars, the galaxies just come up out of the ocean. He said, it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. He said, I never knew there were that many stars. I never knew that the galaxy, he said, they're like clouds. They come up out of the ocean. And he said, I've got this camera and I've been photographing the galaxies. And he said, I can't even begin to photograph, I can't begin to do anything justice. But to think that the magnificent God, David looks at him and says, you're creator and you just moved your finger and you created the galaxies. Magnificent. He's a magnificent God. David moves on, and verse 4 is just the thought that God put on my mind in the COVID times. He's a mindful God. He talks about him as the mindful God or mindful Lord. He mentions, notice in this portion, you might want to underline that he says the Son of Man, and a lot of people get that confused with the Lord Jesus Christ, who was called the Son of Man. But in this portion of Scripture, in the Old Testament, it gives reference to mortal man. It gives reference to us, you know, the son of Adam, mortal man. And he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? What is man? And I took a trip just a few years ago and went to India. And when I landed in Mumbai, is what they call it, there was a haze over the city, like a rust haze over the city. And everywhere you went, people were bumping into each other. The streets, you couldn't just walk down a street. The sidewalks were full, and I got to looking at all these people. We stopped in traffic between the domestic international airport, and people just started sticking their hands in the windows, just wanting just something. And one of my deacons handed an ink pen to a little girl, and she grabbed it and clutched it to her chest and ran through traffic like she had just gotten a piece of gold. And I said this, God, I am so thankful that you care about me today. Amen. David, I look at David there in the Valley of Elah, and he's just killed the giant, and he has his foot up on the giant's chest. He's just removed the giant's head, and he's holding that head up, and the Philistines are fleeing, and his brothers and the armies finally get hope, and they start chasing, and David is in the middle of this saying, God, how did this happen in my life? And I want to say this morning. I don't care where you are, what you've done. You say, well, I can't sing like they just sang. They need to get a bus and go on tour, don't they? That was pretty good. And I don't care if you can't sing and you say, well, I'm just not the smartest person. You never know what God has in store if you'll stay in the place that God has for you. Amen. If you'll just stay in God's will. I love the thought. David says this. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And you might want to circle that word mindful. It has the thought that God, that you recognize me. Who am I? This is just a shepherd boy. And God, you have allowed me to kill the giant. that defied you in front of my Jewish brethren, that they cowered. And he says this, he's holding that head and defeat, one of the greatest defeats in the history of Israel. And he says, look, God, what you have done in my insignificant life. A magnificent God. But I tell you what, God can use you in great ways today.
Right.
You never know what God can do in your life. I've been challenged, and I'm just excited about how God works in my life. And when I went to India, I was preaching, and I'll never forget, the preacher just took me from house to house, and I'm not saying just in his area. We went 3 and 4 hours away. We went to one place where I took a picture of an Indian, a little boy that was Indian. I took a picture of him, and I had a camera where it showed the picture on the back, our up-to-date cameras. And when I took the picture and turned it around, he jumped back because he had never seen a camera like that before. It's like it scared him. And then he came up and began to laugh. I mean, we were at the end of the road. There was no restroom. The world was the restroom. And they had buckets that they dropped down in the wells. And after I preached several places, I'll never forget, we went back to the home church, and we were going to have vacation Bible time. And the little kids came, and they all took their shoes off before they came into the church. There were about 300 pairs of shoes in a big pile. I don't know how they found their shoes, okay, after the meeting. But we went in, and I preached about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. And I had a good time. I pulled out my bag, and I'd gone to Israel and Romania and different places, so I had coins in my bag that just were there in the bottom of the bag, and I kind of scooped them up, and I began to show the kids and to ask them to bring visitors. And man, I tell you, their eyes got about that big, and little Muslims and Hindus, they just began to go through their neighborhoods, and before the week was over, the whole auditorium was full. And on that last night, I gave an invitation, and three little girls came forward, two Muslims and an Indian girl. And I had just preached my heart out, and the preacher said, Pastor, would you take them and witness to them? And I had just preached, and finally I just said, yes, I will. I need an interpreter. And we stepped out the side door, just right out the side door. We sat on the wall, and there was a little girl named Megan. And I went through the whole thing, the plan of salvation. I didn't want them just to make a decision and forget it. I went through the plan of salvation, helped them to understand. And finally, I was trying to go over assurance that you know you're saved and you'll always be saved. And I'd gone through Romans. And I went there, and little Megan was sitting there, and those three girls were sitting there. So I said, so what does this mean? What does this mean? Now that you've made this decision, you know, what does it mean to you? And the little girl looked at me as clear as day, and she said, it means I'm found. It means I'm found. And it moved me. She had been listening to every message. She got saved. And she said, I'm so glad I'm found. Now think about that little girl and that big mass of people. I've never seen so many people in my life. I actually thanked the Lord. I said, Lord, thank you that I was born in America. I have godly parents. I have the things that I have. It was grieving. There were just so many people. There were people picking crops that were starving people. They were picking crops to sell, but they couldn't even eat what they were picking, and it was tragic. But today, I want to say this. We serve the Lord of Lords. And David says this, I don't know what just happened, but God, you've put me in the middle of something, and it's beyond me, but thank you that you visit me. And the thought of visiting me means God cares about us.
Right. Amen.
And he'll visit you every day.
Amen.
He'll meet your needs. In the high times, in the low times. When you're on the mountain and when you're in the valley,
Amen.
We have a God that is mindful of us. I want to challenge you today. May we open our eyes and realize that, folks, it's a wonderful thing. And you have preachers say it all the time. We're studying the Bible and we're going through this and we're ministering. But would you open your eyes to the great God that we serve today?
Amen.
And realize that he cares about you.
Amen.
He knows what he has in store for you in the future.
Right. Amen.
If we don't go the wrong direction.
Amen.
And David writes a psalm and says, God, you are magnificent. Number two, he says, you are mindful. And let me say, today he's mindful of you.
Amen.
The individual that's about ready to quit, God is mindful of you. But I want to write a third one down. Because as I got down to the very last verse, it talks about God's work and how he created the earth and the dominion. He set the dominion. But it comes down to the last verse, and because of time, I want to just go there. He says this, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And you say, Pastor, what do you mean? Why are you emphasizing this? I believe he begins with how excellent God is, how mindful God is. But I really believe that as I've studied it, it has a prophetic thought. Not only are you my God when I'm in the valley of Elah, but you will be my God forever. It has a prophetic thought. Many folks believe, as they've studied this, David repeats it because he knows there is a future with God. And folks, I want to say, Washington, D.C. is ugly right now. Crazy things are happening. There's over 40 representatives that I know of that I've been told are leaving, are resigning, retiring as of the end of this, you know, when the election comes. Crazy things are happening. I have good men calling, and you know, I used to ask them questions, and now they ask me questions. And our men are praying with leaders, and folks are searching. But I got to looking at this, and I realized this. Not only is God mindful of me today, but God knows my future.
Amen.
God has it in his hand.
Right.
And when I look at it, when I got to looking at this thought of God being a merciful God, I love just reading and understand that he is a God that recognizes me. He visits me. He equips me in my daily life. He knows all about me. The Apostle Paul said he enables me, but we can understand this not only today, but he is a merciful God that will take care of us in these future days. What do you mean, Pastor? Just as he was with a shepherd champion, there is a King of Kings and Lord of Lords that's coming.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean? Over in Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 19, I believe it's verse 6. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6, if you'll look there, I love what the Bible says. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16, notice what it says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. In the book of Daniel, and you might want to write this down, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, Daniel chapter 2 verse 34, the Bible talks about an image that was made. And the image, actually, it was a prophetic image. It had the picture of different people groups and different folks that were in charge of the world in that day. And then it has the future kingdoms. And this image was beautiful, and it was made. Nebuchadnezzar saw this vision, and this image was made. But right in the middle of the image, it's an amazing thing, there is a stone that comes down from the mountain, and it crushes this image. And it has the thought of God's mercy. Someday Jesus is going to come, and he is going to speak the very word, and the enemies are going to be defeated and will live with him forever. It's exciting to understand the scriptures and look at those. Let me just have you turn there just for a minute. Just look at Daniel. If you look at Daniel chapter 2, I hate to not read this. In verse 34, and it's powerful. I just wrote a book on Daniel, and I wrote it to the practical side. But the prophetical side is powerful. And We understand that there are four kingdoms, Gentile kingdoms that are mentioned. In verse 34, it says, I saw till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that there were iron and clay and break them to pieces. It comes and talks about a stone. And you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? David comes and he says this, not only does God care about me today, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming, and he will speak the word and he will be in charge. The Bible says there in verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up his kingdom, verse 44, set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. For as much as thou sawest in verse 45, that the stone was cut out of a mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces iron and brass and clay and silver and gold, the great God hath known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. I want to challenge you with this. Hey, we serve a magnificent God today. Amen? He is absolute. He's master. Today, he's shaping lives. He moved his fingers. But think about this. He comes in this portion of the scripture, and we find that he's mindful of me. He's mindful of you today. But he's merciful. We have a great future ahead. I've been saying it to our church all year long, and I'm finished. I've been saying it to our church all along. Christians don't have anything to pout about in these COVID days, because we have a firm foundation that we've built on. The world goes crazy, yet believers can stand firm, because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has a future for us.
Amen.
Revelation is vivid. It's in living color right now. And I would challenge you in this day, may we come to a place where David came, as he stood there in the middle of all this craziness going on, God gave him the greatest victory that you could ever think. He was ousted from just being the teenager to the leader of Israel. May we come to a place that we see that that same God is mindful of us.
Amen.
Here's the question. Are you mindful of him?
Good.
Are you mindful of him today? What does God have for you? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. When I sat where you were sitting, I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll serve you. I've surrendered my life, whatever you want me to do, but God, I don't know what that is. He's given me 37 great years of ministry, and I could clip coupons for eternity, honestly. God has given me 37 great years, a wonderful wife, children, grandchildren. I'm young, right? Don't I look young? Come on, you need to agree with me, okay? Thank you. Somebody over there. Appreciate that. God has been good to me. But in my wildest imagination, did I ever think that God could use me like he has? What will you allow God to do in your life? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Haas Anderson College. Thank you for working in our life. Thank you that you're magnificent. God, you're mindful. You know what's happening in our lives today. Rachel, stir hearts. May we surrender to your will and your way, whatever you'd have us to do. God, open our eyes. You're working in our lives. In Jesus' name.